Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have everybody on board today. A lot of ground to cover. A lot of people to talk to today as well.
Great to be back with you, too.
Great to have you back, my good friend.
Hello, stranger. Hope you had a great trip up north last week.
I did. We had a great time.
Awesome.
I'll retell the story only so you can hear it, because the fans are going, he's going to say it again. I finally decided to get an easy pass.
Oh, there you go.
Right. So the first time I get to use it, I'll do the abbreviated version here because the people listening yesterday heard this story, but you didn't hear it. So the first time I get to use it is the Newburgh Beacon Bridge on Interstate 84 in New York. I'm going, here we go. The first time ever I'm going to be able to just slow down, but just keep on rolling and going. I look at the lanes. There's one car in this booth area. I'm like, perfect. Boom. I slide in behind him. And guess what? I slid in behind the only person in the Easy Pass lane that doesn't have Easy Pass. So Kathy and I are sitting in the car.
Only us.
I looked at her. I said, can you believe this? Now, fortunately, I'm driving her van and not my car. My car, as much as you know, I actually like my car.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not a Mercedes, but you know, I like my car. Sunbury Motors that led me. It's a Ford.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great SUV. Yeah. I just assumed that's what you had.
No, we took the van.
Okay.
The van is a backup camera. So fortunately, now I have to back out. Because I can't sit behind this dude. But of course, you know, people going into the toll booth area, they're told to go 15 miles an hour, and we all know that they're going from 70 down to 15. So you're taking a quick look around saying, okay, we got a problem here.
So the vehicle in front of you, was that vehicle from a different state? They just didn't know, they just hit the wrong lane, or? Or was that vehicle from that state?
I did not stop to interview them. I was just curious
what you caught the license plate in front of you. No.
No. In fact, you know, the funny thing, I did not catch it. Okay.
I'll be like, what's this person from Iowa doing?
No, I came up and went, this person's not moving. I have to get out of here. So I looked left, looked right, put the backup camera on, and like slowly eased my way back, and I was able to get into the lane to the left and get out of there.
Oh, you probably had some curbs and barriers on both sides of you. So you can't fly straight back.
So I had to slowly back up and go around. I finally get to use the darn thing. First time. This will be great. I know it works because the gate went up. Oh, my goodness.
Well, if that was the only little hiccup that happened last week, that's...
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I looked at it. I said, boy, that plate in front of me looks so familiar. Right? And then I realized it was the suit. No. Figures, even on vacation, he's trying to get me. Okay, there's a lot of news coming out of Big Ten Media Day. A lot of news. James Franklin's made some news just by making some of the statements he made yesterday about uniformity of conference schedules. He is absolutely spot on and correct about that. Look, one way or the other, either all the Power 5 conferences have to have 8 opponents, or all the Power 5 conferences have to have 9. I would think the leaning would be toward 9. But he's right. And when 3 of the 4 college football playoff teams make the Final Four, and 3 of the 4 play 8 conference games and 1 played 9, Oklahoma. I mean, every year the ACC and the SEC have a team in it. Now, remember, Jim Delaney, and Jim made this statement on the show last year. He says, Steve, look, I worked hard to get just conference champions in. And what happened was Mike Slive, then the head of the SEC, was the one that said, well, we're not going to participate if that's the deal. So, because, you know, that would keep, we've got LSU, we've got Arkansas, we've got Alabama, we've got Auburn. And, of course, last year they became the first conference ever to get 2 win. They didn't deserve 2 win. Really, they didn't. Ohio State should have been in. But they got them in. And, again, 3 of the 4 played 8 conference games, which gave them control, absolute control, over one-third of their schedule to program how many games they were able to play. Alabama, of course, didn't have to risk anything by not playing in the SEC championship game. Wonderful. The only entity that will change scheduling in college football, the only entity, is the College Football Playoff Committee. They're the only ones. They can dictate what it takes to get into the college football playoff. They can put parameters out there. It won't be perfect. But when you sit there and you look at the non-conference schedule Washington play, I mean, Penn State should have been absolutely in over Washington. And you know, I felt very strongly about that. I felt that the Big Ten should have been the first one to get 2 entities in. Because, my problem was never with Ohio State. It was always with Washington. When Washington's non-conference schedule, the best team they played was Rutgers. That tells you a lot. So they didn't send a message there. They didn't send a message on conference champions the last couple of years. And if you play 8 conference games, you've got a better chance of getting there as opposed to 9. So they're the ones that need to send the messages as to what it takes to get there. And so far, they have sent nothing but mixed messages so far. I realize every year takes on its own personality. I understand that. I understand that probably better than most. But that's the entity that has to set up the parameters as to what gets you in. And I don't think they've sent the right man. And I think James Franklin is spot on, exactly right. There needs to be uniformity among the Power Five as to how many conference games you play. Now, whether it's 8 or 9, I'd like to see 9. To me, that is the way to go, and he's right about that. The other issue that came up today deals with Comcast and the Big Ten Network. Now, if you recall, we have talked about this issue already. So for listeners, loyal listeners of this show, you both know where I'm going here. I'm just kidding. All right. But for loyal listeners of this show, you know where we're going, because we've talked about this on this show. Back in late April, early May, we discussed on this show about Comcast dropping Big Ten Network in 29 states. And I made the point at that time, next will be the footprint states. Okay, the footprint states, because that's where the power play is going to be. The 10-year contract between Comcast and BTN expires August 31st. Expires August 31st. And that is, so far there's no deal. And if you closely have looked at the Big Ten Media Days, okay, this is what you're getting. Mark Silverman made statements today. Silverman said that the Fox Regional National Networks, the Fox Sports National Networks and BTN, he's the president of both, said there's been no substantive response to Fox's deal proposals. He made a very, very direct speech today in Chicago. He said that Fox's deal with Comcast is expiring and a blackout could threaten Big Ten football and basketball games on the network and Fox Sports One. He said today, I'm letting everyone know this, in order to alert Comcast subscribers of the real possibility they may lose BTN and Big Ten football games on Fox Sports One this season. So the good news here is that Comcast will be alone if it decides to drop BTN and Big Ten football games on FS1. BTN and Big Ten football games on FS1 are available on many different TV providers, cable, satellite, internet providers, new internet providers, and viewers will have no problem finding an alternative provider in their area. Yeah, right. Comcast, though, issued a statement. Comcast agreements with content providers like the Big Ten Network expire from time to time. We are communicating with the Big Ten Network about continuing to carry it after August 31st and look forward to productive negotiations. In other words, I just said a bunch of nothing and mumbo jumbo. Okay, but that's what that's how these statements are. But we've talked about this. Here are the possibilities. The possibilities are they get it done before August 31st, and you'll see zero change. Here's another possibility. There's no BTN coverage in our area on Comcast the opening week of the season, maybe the second week of the season, and maybe through the third week of the season, and then finally we get to the conference openers. Voila, they'll have an agreement. But you could see the first 1, 2, 3 weeks of the season, no BTN. Now, it doesn't affect Penn State's second game of the season with Pitt. That's an ACC-controlled game, and it turns out it's on ABC. But there's a lot of news coming out of Chicago. A lot to talk about. Been a lot going on today. Now, Ty Callis was scheduled to be on today, but Todd had to move it to Friday. Todd had to move it to Friday, which is perfectly fine. We're just thrilled to get Todd on to talk about all this. Obviously we'll talk a little bit about his dad, but, he's doing a lot of work now with a great franchise. I mean, they are really, you want to talk about getting it done. They're getting it done. So today we're going to have on the show Adam Kaplan, the NFL insider. Plenty to talk to him about because Todd Gurley signed a 4-year, $60 million deal, of which 3 years are guaranteed at $15 million apiece. By the way, my opinion, not good news for Le'Veon Bell. Jared Pallo, Phillies writer for The Good Fight on SBNation.com, is going to join us at 4:06 today. Bill Bender, Sporting News, just did a big article on Trace McSorley, joins us on Thursday. Friday, we'll have Todd Callis, Tim Kirchen, and the Prince of the East. And on Monday, I was texting with him today. I didn't realize he was on the show until later, but Wheels and I were texting earlier today. Wheels is back on Monday. We have a lot going on. We'll take a break. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
How can your summer memories last for the next 6 years? With a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia and up to 6 years interest-free. Sunbury Motors Kia is helping make summer memories last and last during the America's Best Value Summer Clearance with 0% financing for up to 72 months.
That's 6 years.
On 2018 Kia Optima, Serenos, and Sportages. Own a 2018 Kia Optima for just $258 a month. A 2018 Kia Sportage can be yours for only $269 a month. Both for 72 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2018 Kia Forte, Souls, Niro, Sedona, and Cadenza. Own a 2018 Kia Soul or 2018 Forte for only $225 a month for 66 months. Celebrate summer with America's best value. The industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Offer expires 7/31/18. Financing through KMF for qualified buyers. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of news that came out. Injury reports, Jim Delaney pushing for that, which we'd already talked about before. If I'm sitting at the table and we're brainstorming how do we handle injury reports, my suggestion would be everyone has to list who's out by noon on Friday. At that point, virtually every team is done with their practices. By Thursday night. And you don't, and to me, don't list why, don't list how long, there's no disabled list or anything like that. Just list availability, unavailable. Make it really simple. Now, somebody was asking me about, take the game 2 years ago here where Garrett Sickles was suspended for the first half. I said, how would you list him? I said, he wouldn't be on the list, he'd be available. Now, it's always a coach's decision as to when a guy plays, but he was available to play, and the second half he played almost every down. There's a long list of guys that don't play because of a coach's decision. Long list, but they're all available. Let's take an injury, but a guy that ended up playing. Joe Paterno's last game as the head coach of Penn State was the Illinois game. And remember, Derek Moy had injured his foot. And Moy, for the first half and deep into the third quarter, didn't play. Now, the folklore and mythology is that he came off the bench on the last series and he made two catches and kept the drive alive and Silas Red scored. That's not what happened. He actually entered the game at the end of the third quarter. I always love it. Like, oh, yeah, I love the folklore mythology. It sounds great, but it's not accurate. He entered the game the last series of the third quarter. Now, would you have listed him as out? No, he'd be available. It's just like, you're trying to get through with, if the game had been 44-7 Penn State, Moy wouldn't have played at all, and it would have been the coach's decision to hold him out, in part because of the injury. But if the game were 7-3 and you're losing and he's out there, and he can play, they'll play him. Well, he did. So he wouldn't have been listed. But John Reed would have been listed out on every game last year. To me, list who's out. I mean, where there's going to be no coach's decision involved at all, those are the players you list as out, and you do it by Friday at noon. That's what I'd do. James Franklin on scheduling, absolutely right. Uniformity. Either pick 8 or pick 9, but all the Power 5 teams need to be playing the same number of conference games. And I think the lean has to be to 9 because at least it puts a little more meat in the bone. And on the Comcast situation, this is something we've talked about on this show several times. Now, I haven't talked about it in the past month because there's been no news on it. So for the past month, maybe the last, 6 weeks, I haven't talked about it. But between the end of April and the beginning of June, it was mentioned on the show several times, hey, look, watch out for this. Because that was about the time that Comcast dropped BTN in 29 states, but it kept it in the footprint. And I said at that time, I said, look, just be prepared. August 31st rolls around. There's no agreement. BTN will be carrying games. You just won't be able to see it in our area. And then we'll see how long it takes to work it out. Does it take a couple days, a couple weeks, 3 weeks? We'll see.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Still to come on the show today, by the way, we're going to bring Neil Coulong back. Looking forward to that. But before we get to Neil, great to have back with us on the show, and that would be Adam Kaplan, Sirius XM NFL Radio. Adam, great to have you with us.
Good to be with you today, Steve.
All right, let's start with this, Adam. Todd Gurley gets a 4-year deal. He had 2 years left on his deal with the Rams, so essentially what they did was they did, like, let's avoid arbitration like in baseball. Extended him 4 years, $60 million, first 3 years guaranteed. Two parts. What does that say about the Gurley contract, and how does that affect Le'Veon Bell, if at all?
Well, Bell cannot, first of all, Steve, we'll take the latter. Bell cannot extend his contract because we're past July 15th. He has to wait till the end of the regular season. So now that Gurley becomes the highest paid running back in NFL history on an average per year basis and with guaranteed money, and also at signing, the details are not final. He actually has agreed to it, and within the next 24 hours, I'll probably have a good look at it. What it means is, after Gurley did so well last season, after 2 years ago where he struggled because of the lack of good play calling, the Rams, after seeing him play under Sean McVay, the head coach, now they know that Todd Gurley is going to be the foundation of their team on offense. There's no question about it. And that really helps Jared Goff. So they wanted to get him done. They got Brandon Cooks done to an extension who they traded for. Now the last guy, well, actually, there are a couple other guys they're looking at, but the big one, obviously, is Aaron Donald. And this is going on after a year. They've had conversations ongoing with his representatives. But the big one here now is Aaron Donald going forward and whether they can get that done. That's going to be a tough one because his new teammate, Ndamukong Suh, was the highest paid defensive tackle in NFL history at just over $19 million. And when you look at Donald, who's really a better football player, you're looking at $21 to $23 million a season. And guess what? That's actually quarterback money. It's a lot to pay for a defensive tackle.
It is, and now my point on Bell being, I knew about the extension part, but my point on Bell is that here is a bar set at $15 million per. He gets, what, $14.5 million with the tag. Of course, he wants a long-term contract when this is all over with. I don't see how he gets there, even with this bar being set. What do you think?
Well, there are a couple things. The Steelers were willing to make him the highest-paid running back in the league by far. But the problem now is that you've got two things with Bell that would prevent him from getting the number that he's looking at. He wants to be paid like a receiver, not a running back, and right. He'd like to get $16 to $17 million a year. The Steelers were not willing to do that. The guaranteed money he wants as a receiver, the Steelers were not willing to do that. Now, after the regular season is over, now he knows the kind of money that he wants to beat. He wants to beat $15 million a year. But is he willing to take just over $15 million a year and guarantees that are not wide receiver money? That's, to me, why I think he's going to walk. But what he needs to understand is the deal that he can get on the open market will not be as good as the one that the Steelers offered him, because I'm just telling you, the running back position, and with his injury history and off-the-field history, it's going to be hard for him to match the kind of deal that he wants.
You are absolutely right. You'll get no argument here about that. I think you checked every box on that one. When it comes to what Kirk Cousins got, it's interesting how Gurley, not all of it's guaranteed. He had, the last year hangs out there. Are you interested to see if the Kirk Cousins deal changes everything moving forward when it comes to guaranteed money in the NFL?
Well, Steve, it is, because he did a short deal. All of it's fully guaranteed at signing. You're looking at $84 million. I mean, it's incredible. All of it fully guaranteed at signing. And Aaron Rodgers now is going to want to do that. What I wonder is, can he get 4 years fully guaranteed at signing? His agent, David Dunn, who has a lot of the big quarterbacks, this is going to be a challenge for him. I look forward to seeing what he does here. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to be very, very difficult to – he'll beat it. He's going to wind up beating Cousins' deal. It averages $28 million. The belief around the league is he's going to make around at least $30 million per season, Aaron Rodgers is, when he gets his deal done. And both sides really want to get a deal done very, very soon. But, yes, I think Kirk Cousins now set the bar that the first 3 years are not – remember, when we talk about guaranteed money, that just means – there are different types of guarantees. There's money that's guaranteed only for injury, which is really insurance money. God forbid the guy suffers a serious injury, then he can't pass a physical. But fully guaranteed money at signing is really what players want, and that's what Kirk Cousins got. He got an historic contract.
I believe the stat is correct, but I don't think there's been an NFL team that has won the Super Bowl in which the quarterback had more than 12% of the cap space. Obviously, I'm for what anybody can get in any profession. I hope you get the highest deal you can get. I'm sure you hope the same thing for me, same thing for a quarterback. But how much of a bind does it put a franchise in your opinion, Adam, when they have so much invested in one? Or, like in the Steelers' case, they have two and they can't afford the third.
Well, the thing is, first of all, you have to be right. When you make a player the highest-paid player at his position, you want to do it at a money position. We're talking about quarterback, defensive end, cornerback, offensive left tackle. Generally, the thought around the league is you don't want to pay running back in terms of your cap and also in terms of being highest-paid on your team. You don't want to even be close to the quarterback. And running back is just not that important of a position anymore. But in terms of the overall cap numbers, that's the thing in the CBA, which is going to be interesting when it expires after the 2020 season. Will agents be able to get at least quarterbacks to get a higher percentage of the cap? Because quite frankly, that is the money position. That's the most important position on the football team. But the Raiders will tell you when they missed on the Jamarcus Russell deal, which they completely failed with because he was awful. That destroyed them for years because it was such a higher percentage of the cap on that old CBA. But those deals now, especially the rookie deals, are not as big. But the way that, when we talk about contract structure, you can make it that it doesn't hurt you. Like the way that the Ravens did the Flacco deal,
right?
The first three deals of that extension were enormous. In fact, what they had to do to make it palatable, they had to restructure it, which they did. And the guaranteed money in his contract expires after the season. So if he doesn't play well, they could move on. The only thing they have to take on is dead money. But there's no guaranteed money left in his deal after the season. And that's the way you have to structure these deals. After 3 years, you've got to be able to get out of it.
And the other part is this. I mean, I don't think it's any surprise Seattle had its great run when they were paying Russell Wilson third-round money.
Right, but it's ironic, Steve, that Russell Wilson's agent, Mark Rogers, is a baseball agent. He asked for 4 years, $100 million, I'm told, and all of it fully guaranteed, and the Seahawks basically laughed at him. They're like, we're not doing anything like that. And they wound up doing – Russell wound up doing a typical deal with rolling guarantees where they could get out of it after a couple of years. Now – and you asked a really good question. Now that we have the Kirk Cousins deal, will all the top quarterbacks now get those type deals? When Carson Wentz does his deal, he could do it as soon as after the season. If Carson Wentz has another great season and stays injury-free, who's to say that he doesn't wind up being Aaron Rodgers' deal at 26 right. years old? He could actually do that, by the way, if he has a monster season, so don't be surprised at that.
Because that's one of the elements I looked at the Gurley deal. The Gurley deal actually takes you up to the new CBA.
Yeah, and yes, and the question now will be, other than Bell, who are those great running backs that could get a monster deal? It's going to be fascinating to see because when Freeman did his deal with the Falcons, Devontae Freeman, he only got $8.5 million a year, and that deal was thought to be very light, and now Todd Gurley's almost doubling that per season. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. All right, give me, as camps are about to open, give me a couple of items of interest, Adam, that pique your interest going in, you're going to keep a close watch on.
Well, the national anthem issue, remember we have a preseason game on August 2nd. What happens there, because both sides, the players and the owners, cannot agree on it. That clearly is one of the top issues. Quarterbacks coming back from injury. Carson Wentz, as I mentioned, Deshaun Watson coming back from his ACL injury. I start my 19-team training camp tour on Thursday, and I'll be at the Eagles, and I'm very anxious to see how Carson Wentz looks because he was unbelievable in June. I mean, he was so far probably about 6 weeks ahead of schedule or so. It's generally coming back from injury. And I'm always missing these teams. Every year, people are trying to find out who are their surprise teams. No one, and I mean no one, picked the Rams to be a playoff team. Right. And who's going to be that team, or are there going to be a couple that shocked the world? Maybe like the Cleveland Browns, who didn't win a game last season. You never know.
Right, you never know. A national anthem issue. It seemed like it was dying off, and then they brought it back to life by making an issue out of it at the owners' meeting. Am I right or wrong about that?
Well, yeah, but you have to understand, the both sides had been talking, but they also, the owners at the owners' meetings, did something without consulting the NFLPA, and they right. came out with this, and they, so they wouldn't react until they got a broader scope of what exactly this meant. And, you know, for years, and I lived this during the 11 CBA, you know, the owners talk about how the players are their partners in the CBA, and the Players Association doesn't feel that way. They feel like they're not consulted on important issues that they should be consulted on. So I think that's the problem, because the relationship is so bad with both sides. And I see the problem is, to wrap this thing up, you've got a side in the players that looks at it and says, you know what? We're going to do what we want, what we feel like is our right, and the owners don't feel like it's our right. And that's the fundamental issue between both sides.
Check him out at Kaplan NFL, and that's with a C, at Kaplan NFL. Adam, I know you had a limited window. We appreciate the time you gave us today and the great information.
Thank you.
Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, joining us on the show today. Coming up in the next hour, we'll also have Neil Coulong, but also Jared Palo, Phillies writer for The Good Fight on SBNation.com. That's next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Hey, great to have you with us on the show. Thanks to Adam Kaplan. Check him out at Kaplan NFL. It's Kaplan with a C, by the way. And this has been one of those news-making days. The last couple of days in Chicago, I think James Franklin was spot on when it came to talking about equity and schedules. In other words, 9 games in a conference schedule, or 8, whatever it may be. He's absolutely right about that. There needs to be uniformity in Power 5 scheduling. You can't have 2 conferences with 8 and 3 conferences with 9 conference games. And again, I mean, this would have cost Alabama a spot if they'd done it my way, okay? But remember what I said last year. There is, on a national basis, there is far too much light made of what Clemson and Alabama did in the next to last week of the regular season last year. Clemson played the Citadel. Alabama played Mercer. Right? If I'm on the College Football Playoff Committee, I argue until I'm red in the face saying I'm dropping each one of them down one spot to tell them that that's unacceptable. And guess what? It would have cost Alabama because they lost the next week to Auburn. It would have knocked them out. Yeah, I would have done that. I would have looked at everybody and said, are you kidding me? You're going to reward this? You're rewarding this. Everybody else is out there playing Michigan. They're playing Michigan State, Penn State, you know. Penn State, whatever it may be, but they're playing Mercer, but that's okay with you. They're going to hold in the 2 spot. I drop them down to 3rd. They've done the same thing with Clemson. They drop down one spot symbolically to tell them that what you're doing is making a mockery. Okay, this is the stretch run of a 12-game college football season. Okay, this isn't 162 games, not 82 games, or like the NFL, 16 games. This is only 12 weeks, as limited a window as a major sport can have. And you take the next to last week to play Clemson, to play Citadel and Mercer, respectively. And both those teams were rewarded by making the college football playoff. They both were. And one of them, Alabama, didn't even win their division. Didn't even win the division. They won the national championship, but they didn't win the division. Which is interesting. Remember, Jim Delaney, when he was on this show, fought hard. And he explained it because Jim and I were on the same page about this. But he said, conference champions should be in. Now, he was the original one that fought that. And the SEC said, we're not going to be in it if it's only conference champions. Well, it paid off for them last year because they got two of the four in. But that also meant that three of the four that made it in only played eight conference games. Extend yourself. You can't keep giving advantages to people who take advantage. You can't keep giving advantages to people who take advantage. In the ACC and the SEC, they're taking advantage and keep getting the advantage. So why, there's no incentive to change. The only one that can force change is the actual college football playoff committee itself. You can't reward Washington for having Rutgers as its toughest non-conference game and exclude Penn State, the Big Ten champion, which has won 9 in a row against exponentially better competition. That would have sent a message. I had no qualms about Ohio State being in. It was Washington I had qualms with being in 2 years ago. Because, A, I knew Penn State was a better team than Washington, hands down. That's one of the reasons why I like the fact that they played in the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State, I don't care what the final score was, 35-28. Penn State dominated that game. Dominated the game. Washington hit two big plays. Ooh, okay, great. Penn State dominated. They dominated. I mean, Penn State, they had scoring drive. They had non-scoring drives that ate up clock left and right, where they just owned the line of scrimmage and dominated them. Because I knew going into that game. In fact, I don't think was there any point leading up to that game, Sean, where it sounded like I had any thoughts about Penn State not winning that game.
No. I mean, we talked about the top players the Huskies had. I mean, Vita Vea was everything is advertised in that game. Had a couple of stellar plays, including one on special teams. But any fear, anything like that? Absolutely not.
No. Because again, Trace McSorley is a quarterback. He and Browning are not in the same category. They're not in the same category. And I say that with all due respect to Jake Browning and in all praise for Trace McSorley. I mean, remember, Penn State was 12-12 and third down in that game. 12-12. And I know that, it's a different cast every year. I got that. But a lot of the key players for Washington from the year before played in the Fiesta Bowl. A lot of the key players from the year before for Penn State played in the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State was just better. Better. And the College Football Playoff Committee fouled it up because they took the team that had the weak non-conference schedule and put them in. At least Ohio State went out that year. Let's give them credit where credit's due. They went and played Oklahoma in Norman and beat them. It's one of the reasons why I had no qualms with Ohio State being in. Everyone talked about them. I never talked about them. I was fine with Ohio State being in. I was not fine with Washington being in over Penn State at all. They're the ones that can affect change. They're the ones that need to affect change. They're the ones that need to do it. They're the ones that have to send the message. And James Franklin is right. There needs to be equity in college football scheduling in terms of the number of conference games that you play. Now, the Comcast story was also the next one that came up today. Yesterday, Jim Delaney brought up injuries. But again, remember we talked about that 3 weeks ago, Sean? So, I mean, we've been kind of ahead of the curve and everything here, talking about these items.
It almost kind of has a spitting image of a couple of years ago when there was a little bit of an agreement had to be hammered out between Service Electric and BTN.
Yes.
And they were able to get it done the night before, and all was right with the rest of the world.
Well, I mean, that's what they want here. That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen here. All right? This is going to go to the 11th hour. I just cannot picture on August 24th that, hey, we have an agreement. That never seems to be what happens.
It's just interesting with this dynamic. It's completely, you really can't compare it to the deal with Service Electric a couple of years ago with BTN because not every single Comcast customer is going to be affected by this.
Well, let's say, for example, Time Warner has a chunk of the market. Though the first year BTN came out, BTN was in the red. But they had neither Comcast nor Time Warner. And then when they started their second year of broadcasting, they had contracts with Time Warner and Comcast. And suddenly they went from red to black. Well, the Comcast deal was a 10-year deal. They still have, for example, contracts with Service Electric, contracts with Atlantic Broadband. They still have their contract with Time Warner. For example, New York City is Time Warner. It's not Comcast. But a huge chunk of the Big Ten footprint happens to be Comcast. And evidently, as of this day, they're not close. And when Mark Silverman has to get up there and make a statement saying, "My fear is the removal of BTN in the outer markets may be the first step in Comcast's plan to remove BTN from their systems everywhere, including the Big Ten home markets," that tells you right away the negotiations are at an impasse. It may extend into the season slightly.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.